This guy bites. I don't bite. Come. Come, 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 come. One order the children. Come, children. Come, quick, 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 quick. Sit here. Sit. 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 Oh, my goodness gracious. All the children. Look at all of the children. Hello, do you want a pet? You want a pet? Pet him. Pet him. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? How'd you? Oops. Very shy. Very shy. You're so beautiful, all of you children. Whoa, wait a minute here. I gotta get closer to the, yeah, come on. I gotta get closer to the children. Whoops. Apparently Noah doesn't know how a skirt works very well. Today. Tell me. Who knows Noah? You know me, young man, you know me personally. Excuse me. He always gets in the way. He likes to tell. You ready for a story? Just a little short story? Okay. You like a story? I thought you said no. Because I'm going to tell it anyway. Story about me. One day, I was walking along the road. I was minding my own business. I wasn't bothering nobody. I wasn't causing no trouble. I was going to the store to get a loaf of bread, maybe some fish, maybe a little sweet stuff, you know. I'm not supposed to have it, you know, but I sneak. Have it. And I'm walking along the road. When all of a sudden, it's working now. It's working. This thing, these modern things don't work really. They don't work really well. I was walking along the road. I was walking along the road. I was minding my own business. And all of a sudden, I hear this. I hear this.
Noah.
And I went, what? Who's that? Oh, somebody called my name. They knew my name. They called my name. They said,
Noah.
I said, all right, come out, whoever you are, come out. Must have been, I thought, one of the kids, you know, they're fooling Papa. And I heard it again.
Noah.
I thought, oh, God. That's right. This is the Lord, Noah. Oh, boy. Hi. I'm in a lot of trouble. If God is talking to me, do you say it's not working? Oh. Nothing's working around here today. Anyway, I said, God, what do you want? He said, I'm really angry. He said, I made all these people, and these people have become so wicked. They've become so mean. They're hurting one another, and they're stealing from one another, and they're robbing, and they're killing, and I'm mad at them. I'm going to wipe them all out. And I thought, that don't sound too good. I don't think that good news, do you? But God said, don't worry, Noah. You're okay. I like you. You'll walk with me. You're a good man. I like you. I like your kids. I thought, good, because I like my kids too. Except maybe one of them. So God said, I want you to build me an ark. I said, an ark. I'll build you an ark. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you. What's an ark? Who knew? I don't know what an ark is. God said, an ark is a big boat. Oh, a boat. Well, a big oak. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the one. That's the one. My son must have took a snapshot. Listen, he put it on Facebook. Anyway, God said, I want you to build a boat. I said, a boat. Okay, like a rowboat? He said, no. I said, like a fishing boat? He said, no, I want you to build me an ark. I said, what is an ark? He said, all right, let me tell you. It's how you do it. You'll make it out of gopher wood. You build an ark. You build it 500 feet long. It was very specific. 500, 2 feet, 8 inches. Do you know how long that is? Do you know they're going to play a big football game today, right? You heard about that? The Supper Bowl, what was it called? The Super Bowl. And they're going to play it on a big field. You know that field is 300 feet long. Yeah. It's 300 feet long. That means if you put my boat in the field where they play the Supper Bowl, Super Bowl, the football game, if you put my ark on that field, it will hang over the end each side 100 feet. Wow. And I want you to build it 83 feet wide and 52 feet high. And I said to God, that's a big boat. It's going to take a while. God said, I want you to take all the time you need. You got 120 years. And here's what I want you to do. While you're building the boat, I want you to preach. I want you to tell people that I'm going to make it rain for 40 days, 40 nights. I'm going to make it rain. And they're going to need to get inside the boat or they're all going to drown. So I worked on the ark. I hammered. I saw it. I got my kids working. I got my boys working. I said to the women, listen, you got to bake pies. We got to have lots of pies. We got to have bread. We got to have soup. We got to have cabbage. We got to have onions. We got to have so much food. So they baked and they cooked and they sewed and they got ready to get on the ark. And then one day, all of these animals started showing up. There was elephants. There was the thing with the horn, yeah, and hippopotamuses and horses. And you know what? The horses was chased onto the boat by panthers. They really were, yeah. And then they had a Super Bowl right in the middle of that thing. Anyway, no. No, listen. And there was giraffes, and there was skunks, and mosquitoes, and yeah, it was terrible. And lice. And then, so while I was building, I was preaching. I was hammering and I was saying to the people, you got to get in the boat. And they all said to me, I'm not getting in that thing. I don't know if it'll even float. Besides that, Noah, why do you need a boat? There's no water. You don't need a boat. You're a stupid old man. And I said, you listen to me. God said to me to build an ark, and he said for me to tell you, get in the ark. So get in the ark. And they went, no, we're not going to get in the ark. We don't believe you. 120 years. 120 years I worked on that boat. And everybody laughed. They made fun. They teased. But one day, it got really dark. It got darker and darker. And then the wind started to blow. I mean, the wind really started to blow. It was blowing hard. It was blowing hard. I mean, the wind was blowing. And then I heard the thunder and the lightning. You ever heard the thunder and lightning? It was thundering and lightning, and it was raining, and it was raining. the rain needs to start soon because I hear it raining and the thunder. And it was raining. You can see it's raining. I can't hear it raining. Oh, my goodness. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Has he got something turned off back there? Did you turn the rain off and the thunder and the lightning? Turn it back on. I'm telling a story here. What kind of man are you? You cut the lightning thunder off. Okay. I don't know what. Boom! It's thunder. And it's too late now. The story done. You got. Anyway, it started to rain, and it rained, and it rained, and use your imagination. You're not using your imagination about the rain. You can feel it, right? Wait a minute. Nope. I thought I was going to be able to rain a little bit. That's okay. Wait a minute. Let me see that. You're a rain girl. I just wanted all you people to know it was raining out there. Wait. You know, the technology finally caught up with the ark. But it was raining. And I said to my son, Ham and Shem and Japheth, I said, get in the ark. Get in the ark. And they all ran and got in the ark. And okay, the rain girls can talk now. And they got in the ark. And I said, where's your wife? And Ham said, oh, I forgot. I got to go get my wife. And he ran and he gets his wife. And they get in the ark. And they get in the ark, and the animals are in the ark, and the elephants are going, and the dogs are going, rawr, 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 rawr. It was a nightmare. And the thunder was pouring, and the thundering, and the rain was raining, and the lightning was flashing. And all of a sudden, people start, God said, get in the ark, Noah. And I got in the ark, and God shut the door. Boom! And it rained. And it rained, and people were knocking on the door, saying, please, please let us in. Open the door. Let us in. We're going to drown in this rain. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't open the door. God shut the door, and then nobody else can get in. I'm sorry. And it rained. And the water came up from the ground, and the ark began to float, and we floated in that ark for 370 days. Do you know how long that is? That's 1 year plus 5 days. We floated on the water, and then one day we heard a grinding sound on the bottom of the boat. And God said, you can come out now. And we came out, and God said, I have made the earth new. Now I want Ham to go this way, and Shem to take his wife and go this way, and Japheth to go this way with his wife, and I want you to repopulate the earth so that there might be a people who will bless my name. I was so happy that I had an ark to get into. Because if I had not had an ark, it would have been very, very sad for my family and for all those people who would not go in the boat. So sad. Thank you for listening to my story. You may go home to your mama now. Bye-bye.
Wayne, if you could just turn those lights on. You never know what's going to happen around here, do you? If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Just have a quick few thoughts this morning for you. Really, since last October, most of my preaching, when it's been my turn to preach, has been centered one way or another on evangelism. The need for it, the Holy Spirit's role in it, how Jesus was not afraid to touch the lepers, and we shouldn't be either, and so on and so on. So this morning, just with the story of Noah as kind of a backdrop, I just want to share just a basic thought, just maybe a couple of short basic thoughts that are kind of the exclamation point on my preaching on evangelism. So as we consider the flood, the judgment of God, and the ark, the salvation of God, I want to point out a couple of really important things, if not basic things. At the heart of the story of Noah is what you might call generational evangelism. Evangelism is supposed to start in the home, and it should be a major focus of the church. That's why we've refocused our efforts on children's church. That's why we have people who show up here every Wednesday night, and we have a teen group on Thursday nights, and on and on and on. Because it is so important to pass the gospel from one generation to the next. Amen? So for a moment, I want to go back in time. And I want to explore some of the years leading up to the flood and the ark. Actually, if you would, turn with me to Genesis 1. We're going to start out there, actually. Verse 26. The Bible tells us that when God created Adam, he made Adam in the image of God. Of himself. Bible says, Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now we understand that sin distorted that image of God that was in Adam. But after the fall, Adam sought to serve the Lord and to honor him. He retained, because of the mercy and grace of God, at least a bit of that image that he was created in. And again, it was only by the mercy and grace of God. Shortly after Adam and Eve sinned, they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And some believe that they were actually twins because of the original language, but we know that Cain was the older of the two boys. But it was Abel that was made in the image of his father, Adam. Abel served the Lord like Adam did. And he offered up an acceptable sacrifice, we read in Genesis chapter 3. Cain, however, was not like his father. And God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And I'm sure many of you know the story. It's one of the more famous stories in the Bible. Cain was angry with his brother because his brother's sacrifice was accepted by God. And so Cain, in his anger, rose up against his brother and struck him and killed him out in the field. And then we read years later that God gave Adam and Eve another son in the place of Abel. The Bible says, read me with me in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. And Seth was like his father Adam. He was made in Adam's likeness, his image. Genesis chapter 5 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. Seth, too, had a son who was born in his image, like he was in his father's image, who was made in the image of God. Genesis 4, again, 26, to Seth also was a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so it was when we see generation after generation being born that men begin to call on the name of the Lord when they're born in the likeness, the image of their godly father. Genesis 5 then records the descendants of Seth, each bearing the likeness of their fathers who came before them. Read with me for a moment. Genesis 5, verse 6. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Didn't do much, did he? When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. I guess he didn't do much either. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What an incredibly boring chapter. I mean, this is the chapter that nobody ever reads in the Bible because it's so boring. All these guys did was live, have a son and a few other sons and daughters, and then they died. What possible significance can this chapter hold? If we look back in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 17, we find the descendants of Cain, who was not like his father Adam. Genesis 4, verse 17 says, "Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch." This was a different Enoch than we just read about in chapter 5. "When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mahujael." Wouldn't you like to be me up here? "Mahujael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwelled in tents and have livestock. His brother was Jabal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah." They did a little bit more, didn't they? Their lives seemed a little bit more exciting. They followed after their father Cain, and they rejected Adam's ways. They built cities. They were the Donald Trumps of their day. They had wealth because they held cattle and sheep and herds of camel and all sorts of things. They were the inventors of things made with brass and iron. This probably meant that they were some of the first warriors on the face of the earth, conquerors. They were the rock stars and movie stars of their day, playing their instruments and singing their songs. The descendants of Cain were famous. Their lives were exciting and filled with the things of this world. But none of that mattered when the flood came. Their wealth could not save them. Their herds of cattle and sheep and camels were washed away in the floodwaters. They couldn't sing or dance their way out of God's judgment. No city walls could be built high enough to hold back the deluge. As exciting as it was before the flood, being like their father Cain did them no good when the water came. Chapter 5, again, the descendants of Seth. Something important, so important going on that we need to take note of. Each generation is being born in the likeness and in the image of their godly father. Out of Adam comes Seth. Out of Seth comes Enosh. And when Enosh is born, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. From Enosh comes Kenan. Kenan names his son Mahalalel, which means the praise of God. Then a man named Enoch is born, who is said to have walked with God. He was so righteous that God wouldn't let him die and took him to heaven alive. Then there was Methuselah, the son of Enoch. Methuselah was his name, meant that his life was a prophetic sign, because his name means his death will bring. And Methuselah died 7 days before the flood took place, the day that God, the Bible says, shut the door of the ark. Finally, we get down to Noah. At that point, he was the only man on the face of the entire earth who found favor with God. Noah was a righteous and good man because he was made in the image, the likeness of his fathers before him, and was said to be a preacher of righteousness. You see, the only thing that mattered on the day when the rains began to fall and the fountains of the deep began to break up and the earth was flooded was who was in the ark. The only ones who found themselves in the ark were the ones who had been made in the image of their godly fathers. They had been taught about the judgment of God. They had been taught about the mercy of God. They had been taught, and so they were prepared on the day of judgment to go into the ark. They understood how to listen to the voice of God, to see the signs. Money, wealth, power, fame, none of it mattered in the face of the day of God's wrath. So I want to challenge you this morning, because I've seen it over and over again. Christian parents who are more concerned with where their kids are going to college than where they're going to spend eternity. We worry about all sorts of things with our kids. How popular they are, if they're happy, where they're going to school, how they're doing in school, what they're learning, how straight their teeth are. We worry about our kids excelling in sports, and we want so much for our kids. But far too often we forget that the most important thing is if our kids are ready for the day that the rain falls and the judgment of God comes, and if they're ready to be in the ark. So if they've been made in the image of God, we must remember that we, if they're to be made in the image of God, they learn what the image of God is by observing us. Amen? Like Adam to Enosh, and Enosh to his son, and Enoch to Methuselah, and on down, we have to display the gospel. We have to display who God is as godly fathers and mothers to them. And that's the greatest calling we have as parents and grandparents, is to ensure that our children are ready to stand in the day of judgment. And if your children are already grown and not walking with the Lord, then I encourage you to call them up and say, listen, we got to have a talk. When the judgment of God comes, the only thing that matters is who is in the ark. You see, God judged the world once with water, and he promised that he would never again flood the earth with water. And the rainbow is the sign of that promise. But the flood was simply a picture of a greater judgment. A greater judgment upon this world of sin. For God says one day he will judge the world not in water, but in fire. And there's just one way to escape the flood and only one way to escape the fire of hell. You see, the ark is simply a beautiful picture of the salvation of God in the midst of his judgment. Our ark is not made of wood and pitch, but was fashioned out of the cross and covered in the blood of the Lamb. You see, Jesus is our ark. Amen. And those who are in him will be safe from the judgment of God when the fire comes, just as Noah and his family was safe in the ark from the flood. Jesus is the only name by which men can be saved. And so we see that the gospel was passed down from generation to the generation. And that gospel, that image that was placed in Noah and in his family, they were conformed to the image of the Father. We too must be conformed to the image of the Son, who is the image of who? Our Heavenly Father. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Romans 8:29. And so we have to learn to be conformed to the image of the Son by being taught by the example of good spiritual fathers as spiritual children. So if you say, I didn't have a good earthly father or mother, I didn't have a godly one, you can have a spiritual father and mother that will teach you the ways of the Lord, that will show you how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to talk, how you're supposed to walk with God. Teach you how to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We normally call this discipleship, and it's important. Paul calls it an interesting word. He calls it imitation. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus. Through the gospel, I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. See, Paul was the spiritual father to the Corinthians, and he sends Timothy, his faithful and beloved son, to them to remind the Corinthians, his other children, who have strayed from the path, who have forgotten what the image, what they were supposed to be imitating, looked like. And he sends Timothy to them to remind them, to show them once again, to disciple them. Imitation, discipleship, conforming to the image. That's how it's supposed to work in each one of us. To be conformed to the image of the Son, who is the expressed image of the Father. And that's how we pass the gospel down from generation to generation. And so I want to close with these simple thoughts. We need each and every one of us to be conformed to the image of the Son by imitating our good earthly and spiritual fathers. And we need to pass down this godly image from generation to generation, for nothing else matters on the day when God's judgment comes. We in the church, we need to produce a godly offspring, both natural and spiritual. And finally, there is room in the ark for everyone. How many of you know what a tragedy it was that on the day that God shut the door to the ark, only 8 souls were in that ark? Just as it was in the days of Noah. Men mock today the coming of the Lord and his day of judgment. There are people in the church who teach that there is no judgment of God anymore. The Apostle Peter said, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God, and that by the by and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the day, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. How many of you understand judgment is coming just like it was in the days of Noah? Men refuse to believe it, and they mock it, but make no mistake, it is coming. But God, our Father, in his great patience, gives time for men to enter into the ark of Christ, to enter the ark of his Son Jesus, so that they may be saved. To you and I, we have a great responsibility to be preachers of righteousness like Noah was, to display in our own character and our own walk the image of God so that others would see, that we would be ones that, like Paul would say, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ, so that others can follow in the pattern. That the gospel would be handed down from generation to generation. That new generations would spiritually be born. And so is an exclamation point on all of my preaching on evangelism. We need to cry out to a lost and dying world. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Get in the ark now before it's too late. Amen. Table.